Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you very much indeed, Aaron, and good morning, everyone. It's great to be here, and what a lovely way to start Valentine's Day by entering the wonderful world of student services. Actually, that wasn't supposed to be a joke. I do live this stuff. I'm here then representing AMOSHI, which is the professional organisation for leaders and managers in student services in the UK. And we have about 90% of the sector in membership, and we're active in supporting our members in professional development activity and also representation, policy work and so on, UK-wide and in the nations and regions of the UK. The title, Ensuring Student Services Deliver on Student Retention, slightly loaded language in there, and I'm actually going to begin by pushing back a little on that title, just to take a moment to reflect on who it is actually who delivers, if you want to put it that way, on student retention. Then I will speak for a moment or two about some of the particular contributions that you might expect from student support services, and I'll refer in particular to two or three examples which I think are particularly pertinent at the moment. And then I'm going to finish, and this is where I suppose the delivery bit comes in. Assuming these contributions from student services, how would you know, or how would you try to find out whether or not your own student services measure up? How will they meet student expectations, and how might you judge that? And there are a number of you I know who are attending today who have direct responsibilities for student services, or may second time removed, if you like, have those responsibilities. And I'm going to present you my own 10-point plan, as it were, for identifying how your student services might measure up. So quick digression across the pond, if I may, where the research literature, the research corpus on this issue of student retention in America is very much more developed than it is in the UK. And one of the big players in this area is a consultancy, HE consultancy organisation, Noel Levitz, which you might have come across. It's been operating since the 1970s in the States. And a strong theme running through their publications is this point that retention isn't some sort of product, goods and services that you can, as it were, deliver in that rather instrumental way, but actually has at its heart good learning and good student development. In other words, the whole student experience. I've put the website for Noel Levitz on the screen. Quite clearly, this is a US context, but there's actually some very interesting stuff on there. And if you want to delve a little further on the themes of retention, some interesting publications and things to look at. More locally, you'll see the same sort of themes that what works in the context of student retention is student engagement and the student learning experience. These reflections are from a multi-agency program, this What Works Student Retention and Success, which many of you may have come across. At the University of Sheffield, we're involved in one of the projects associated with this program. It's actually focused on student mentoring. In fact, it's a collaborative piece of work which is led from the University of Aston, from Aston, and we're participants in that. And I've given you a free plug, or given them a free plug, to a forthcoming conference on this theme. If you want more research, and some people do, this is higher education after all, this is a sort of magnum opus on this whole thing. Richard Light, who's Professor of Higher Education Policy in the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. And this publication, it's based on a longitudinal study about 10 years across nearly 100 institutions, looking at this same theme, what works in relation to student retention. And Richard Light points up a whole array of different facets, from course structure, the opportunities are otherwise for group work in learning, class size, campus diversity, and so on. In other words, this thing that we call retention is multidimensional. It isn't a straightforward matter of delivery by student services, as the title might suggest. Now, having completely debunked the role of student services, I want to come back to it, because clearly there are contributions we can make. The point I'm trying to get across, really, is that this thing is a broader agenda, and it's really important, my proposition, it's important for student services to be embedded in that agenda and not some sort of bolt-on over to the side. There are eight areas here. I'm just going to touch on a few of them, but I'm very happy to pick up anything else further in questioning. I thought I might pause initially on the area of financial support, maybe at the moment. That is one of those exemplars of the moment. And having effective financial support systems, perhaps particularly becoming even more important in the coming years. Amosh is involved in a project at present which the JISC, the IT support organisation, is coordinating, which is about the use of smart card technology in the area of financial support and testing out how rather more creative ways of using technology in the context of financial support is going to be influential in student retention, in enabling us to target financial support better and so on. In the area of student orientation and induction, increasing numbers of institutions, I think, are viewing this as much more of a continuum than we had done. So the concept of transition into higher education is morphing into an understanding of a continuum of transitions across the whole higher education journey. And I was talking to a colleague the other day who's recently reinvented their orientation program, which had been focused purely right at the start of the academic year, to something which is a much more tapered provision right across the first year. And once again, in the States, there's a lot of experience of that sort of longitudinal approach and various practices that we can learn from, I think. Finally, just to pick up on the area of peer support and student-to-student support, this is one where I think in the UK we've probably woken up to this a little later than some other systems. We've done some work recently at Sheffield, and you can look at the output of it on our website, on the student services website at Sheffield, on the a sort of framework or how to assure peer support in an appropriate way. The point about this, I think, is that actually celebrating student leadership and putting students in the driving seat in relation to their own support is a hugely creative approach. On the other hand, one needs to be clear about boundaries, about risk management, and all the rest of it. And we've set out a framework covering areas like training, like sustainability, structure, boundaries, continuity, professional links, and so on, in relation to peer-to-peer support. If that's something you're involved in, you might want to look at that on our website. Finally, referrals is mentioned there, and at-risk and crisis situations. I think it's fair to comment on that. This is, I suppose, student services intervening when things go wrong. I think it's a fair enough point to make, but if that were the only area where student services were involved, that would be very, very problematic. That's a part of our contribution, but it's very much not the whole. So accepting those contributions, how do you know that your own student services is delivering? How do your student services functions measure up? At the moment, in the QAA quality code, the academic infrastructure, which is morphing into this UK quality code, there isn't a section of the code yet on student services, but there will be in maybe 12 to 18 months. That will be launched. So here are 10 suggestions from me, which I'm freely presenting to the QAA as potential elements in this section of the quality code, see what you think about them. First one, this is really asking the question of how strategic are your student services. Can you see a link between what you're trying to do in student services and your institutional strategy, your corporate plan? How involved is student services in institutional policy development? Or is it this support services, which is somewhere off to the side, and the voice of student services isn't heard in those sorts of institutional debates? My suggestion is that it needs to be, and one way of ensuring quality in your student services is to ensure that it is more strategic, perhaps, than it is at the moment. How integrated are your services? And this is really, I think, about putting the user, putting the student at the centre, rather than a provider-centric approach. So do you have student services led and managed in an integrated way, or do you have a whole series of really quite fragmented services which are referring students from one to the next to the next? How do your student services deal with this thing called student engagement? I have to admit to you that I hate the term student engagement or any sort of engagement. I think it's overused and one of those management buzzwords that's tripped out all the time, but I'm going to use it here. What I'm getting at really is, do you pay lip service to user involvement, or do you genuinely have your students almost as co-creators of your service provision? And the points I made earlier on about peer support, I suppose, play into that territory. How are your links to what I would describe as the centre of the university, academic departments and schools? Do your student services functions face out to academic departments? Do they have established links to colleagues there? Or are they purely focused institutional-wide and facing the students? To what extent are you supporting academic departments in your student services provision, and so on? How strong are those and effective are those links? How externally connected are your student services colleagues? Are they getting out there? Are they benchmarking? Are they talking to colleagues in other institutions, in other systems? If you claim to be an internationalised or international campus, how internationalised are your student services? When is the last time they introduced something which was inspired by a system in another part of the world? How embedded are issues relating to equality and diversity, or is this some sort of bolt-on activity? And depending on the reach of your student services, there may be all sorts of other legal compliance issues, and how strong are colleagues in their position in relation to all of those legal issues? How do you do quality management? What I've described here is quality management in student services, and there I'm talking about the whole gamut, really, through effective planning, strategic planning, operational planning, the evaluation of your services, and the whole loop of managing your services in a quality-assured way. And talking about evaluation, is your evaluation monodimensional and only really asking students how happy they are with something that you've decided you're providing them with? Or are you looking rather more deeply at the value of what you provide and the impact of your student services in relation to student success, retention, progression, and so on? And Amoshi's, in the last few months, launched an evaluation toolkit focused on that very topic, how we assess the value and impact of services supporting students. And there's an array of materials and backing for you from that website. The professional expertise of your student services colleagues, do you have the appropriate accreditations in place? How seriously do you take professional development? Is your student services department following the Investors in People standard, for example, or other external quality standards? Can't ignore resourcing, particularly with a vice-chancellor on the platform. There's never enough resource, of course there isn't. But looking at this rather more creatively, perhaps, in terms of people, money, facilities. And in fact, resourcing, I could have included IT in the question of resourcing, but I've deliberately separated it out because I think IT is one of those areas which some parts of the university's services are maybe more creative and more advanced than typical student services departments in taking up the opportunities of IT. So I've particularly highlighted it here because I think it's something which in many institutions we need to focus on just a little more. So, as I've mentioned a moment or two ago, there is currently no quality standard for student services. Maybe that's got you thinking about what might be contained in one and how your own student services measure up. And I hope that brief run through the territory has set us up for some interesting discussions through the day. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.